Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is good for us to have the opportunity again today to celebrate and to fellowship with one another and to have this time to honor your name. May we glorify God in all that we say and all that we do each day of our life. We pray, Lord, that tonight, as we take your word for just a moment, these ancient words, which are as real today as they were the day they were spoken or written, and we pray that you might help us as we come to understand better how to take the word of God and use it, apply it, consume it, so that we might be spiritually what you want us to be. And we thank you, Lord, for this good day, and we thank you for the many people who have been here today. And may you bless them in all their endeavors this week and all the things they face, all the challenges ahead. Fill them with your Spirit and encourage them. We thank you, Lord, for the time now we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good to see all of you again this afternoon. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to James chapter 1. We want to complete what we started last Sunday night as we consider the importance of reading God's Word. We read and we spoke. I spoke to you last week about James 1:21, and that is the important responsibility of reading God's Word saves your soul. Reading God's Word saves your soul. But then we also come now to the second part, which is reading God's Word to obey Him. Reading God's Word to obey Him. What was it the Lord said? You call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say. So when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and we call Him our Lord, that implies that we will obey Him. Not only believe and trust Him, but obey Him. You call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things I say. So tonight, we have James reminding us again of the importance of reading God's Word, not only for knowledge and awareness, but for obedience. We read the Word of God to obey. So let's read tonight James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And then I'd like for you to also keep your finger there and go back in your Bible to Psalm 119. We've referred to this a number of times, this wonderful, wonderful psalm, glorious psalm. And I want you to look again at a very familiar verse, but I want to remind us of it tonight, Psalm 119:9. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word, obedience. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. And then also Psalm 119 verse 7. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. So the language of the psalmist is, I will keep your word. I will keep it. I will obey it. I will follow it. So tonight is our opportunity to meditate for a few moments and to think about the importance of our own obedience, Christian obedience to the Word of God. So I want to take us through these verses again, and let us look at verses 22 through 25. And I want to make three observations from these words. But before I do, again, reminding us of verse 21. Coming and approaching the Word of God on my regular, in my regular basis, we can never treat God's Word as if it is just another book or something we read. These are the very words of God, so we must prepare ourselves spiritually. We must ask for the Lord's forgiveness of our sins to maintain our relationship, but also those sins block us from hearing God's Word and understanding it. So we must put aside the filthiness and the things that remain of wickedness and come to God's Word in humility. So we learn tonight that obedience is connected to humility. Only those who are humble in heart will obey God. The proud never obey God. The proud always walk their own way, going at their own pace, doing their own desires. But we're reminded tonight of the deep importance of humility. God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. He also grants the opportunity for us to have knowledge of God's Word. So sometimes when I'm reading God's Word and it seems blocked, it seems dry, it seems to be of no effect, perhaps I need to pause and say, do I need to practice verse 21? Do I need to put aside some things that are keeping me from hearing God's Word? In humility, receive the Word that's being implanted as you read. So what do? I mentioned Stuart's here tonight. I got the best rye grass in Dixon. And you mowed it this week. Yeah, Stuart's having to mow grass in the wintertime. He's got one guy that he helps out with grass. The point I was making is Stuart, when he got ready to do that, overseeds that with ryegrass. When he overseeded it, it was pitiful. That grass was gone. Summer was over. Now, what's happened? You overseed it, it's just come up and it's beautiful. When we read the Bible, we overseed our hearts. This is what we have. This is what we have to prevent our minds from going astray. This is what we have that comes back to our minds in those times of temptation, overseeding your heart and mind. How do you do it? Right here. You receive with humility the implanted Word. The more we read it, the more we consume it, the more we meditate and think about it, we overseed our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. This is so important for our Christian spiritual health. And what happens? This implanting, this overseeding of your heart and mind saves your soul. It keeps you from the path of unrighteousness. It keeps you from temptation. It helps you to remember what God's ways are all about. So all of that in humility, we come to God's Word, and in humility we obey it. So let's look first of all at this. Let me mention this as the first observation here. We must practice obedience as we read God's Word. We must come to God's Word with the absolute commitment to obey God's Word. Not out of curiosity, just to say, look, I wonder what the Bible says about this or that or the other in my life. Oh no. We come to the Word of God and we say, Lord, I'm about to read Your Word. Whatever Your Word says to me, I'm going to do it. This has to be the commitment of our lives. In all of our reading of the Word of God, in the hearing of the Word of God, preached or taught, we come to it and we say, what I hear, the Holy Spirit will remind me of those things in my life I need, and I will obey. So we see it here. Look at first we get the statement, the challenge. Prove yourselves doers of the Word. Do your own test. Make your own test. Prove yourself doers of the Word. Are you obeying the Word of God? Are you practicing the things the Lord Jesus has said for us to do? Are you allowing God's Word to shape your daily thoughts and your actions in obedience? Are you identifying those areas where you need to practice obedience to God? I'd like for you to look for a moment at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, if you'll take your Bible and turn over there. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus finishes these phenomenal chapters, which we all know, this group tonight, I know who's here tonight. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, these amazing words for all of God's people, for us disciples of Jesus. These words are the direction and guidance of the Lord Jesus. He says, as he finishes in verse number 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them." See, that's the language of obedience. I read what God's word says and I act on it. I respond to it. I don't put it off. I don't postpone it. I don't ignore it. I read or hear God's word and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, "Yes, that's for you, Mike." That right there. If you hear it and then you act on it, you are compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and don't they? Don't the rains come and the floods come? Blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine, notice, and does not act on them, who's disobedient, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And why would the Lord say this? And great was the fall. Like the man who said to me in sadness, who'd served the Lord faithfully, "I'm nothing like I used to be in following Jesus. I'm nothing like I used to be in following Jesus." He was talking about moving back in his life to living in carnal selfishness and sin, and he had drifted away from God. He did not spend time in the Word of God. He gave up those practices that we all know are precious, the reading and the hearing of God's Word. And just like when you clean out the garden, guess what happens if you don't take care of it? What shows back up? Weeds. The same thing happens in our soul. I'm not the man I used to be in following Jesus. I quit listening to the Word of God. I quit obeying the Word of God. And great was the fall. He was talking to me because he was in a very hard time in his life based on his own decisions of disobedience to God. So tonight, we're called to prove ourselves. Your job is not to point to someone else and say, "Well, now, are they really obeying God's word?" I have enough to do with myself. I don't need to be judging you. What did the Lord say? You got to take that giant beam out of your own eye before you can ever help your friend with the little tiny splinter in their own. Tonight I ask you to do this, my friend, just as I will do it myself. One of the best ways for you to prove yourself as a doer of the word is at the end of every day. This is a simple thing. When you're preparing to go to bed after you finish all of what you do and you spend your time, why don't you pause and ask yourself, have my actions today proven? Have my words, have my actions proven today that I am obedient to the Word of God? This is important for us. We go on now. He says, prove yourselves doers of the Word, and then he makes the contrast. Not merely hearers who delude themselves. Oh, this is such a tricky thing. You know, self-delusion is all around us. I'm really okay when I'm not okay. I'm really kind when I'm not kind. I'm really faithful when I'm not faithful. I delude myself. I'm really okay. I don't need to tell God about that. I'll just do it on my own. Delusion. Self-delusion. It goes with not obeying the Word of God. So we must beware of the dangers. This is the second thing. We must beware of the dangers of hearing God's Word without obeying it. Now that's where delusion comes. Oh, this is such a... Oh, my friends. Our dear people will go to Cuba and some of them have never heard the Word of God. Or Todd takes our people to India who some of them can't even read and they story the Bible and for the first time hear the truths of God's Word. We are here in Mecca, are we not? Right in the buckle of the belt. The Bible's been preached for generations. People know these words. People can quote as fast as the preacher says the verse. People can quote it. They've heard it so much. But hearing only brings self-delusion. What do I mean by that? I mean that people think because they hear God's word, they're okay. No. No, the Lord Jesus had much to say about hearing and doing. Hearing only deludes you. And there are many who live in self-delusion all across this part of the country. That's why it's hard for us to share the gospel here with people. These are hard grounds. America's a hard place in many spots to share the gospel, especially in the religious South, because why? Who hasn't heard daddy, granddaddy, grandpa, grandma, great, great, great? Been going to church all my life, Pastor Mike. That's good. But if you hear without obeying, just because you hear the Bible and know the words does not mean you're saved. This is such a hard lesson for our people to hear. He says, don't merely be a hearer who deludes themselves. So he gives us now an example of delusion, of forgetful hearing. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, now let's look at the way the hearer is described only. The hearer, not the doer. Look at this. It's plainly for us here. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. All right, we all did that today. I hope you were all right after you looked in the mirror and saw that, what was looking back at you. He's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Oh, I didn't see that. My soul, what's causing all these lines to come on my face? That barber didn't do a very good job cutting my hair. You see, looking at your face. Are my eyes that bloodshot? Is my nose really that long? You get the idea. He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he looked at in the mirror. Forgetful. Doesn't stick with him. Avoid reading God's word without a commitment to obey, only to gain knowledge. This is our challenge. This is the challenge of making the Bible a school book. Carefully read the words of God, place them in your heart in order not to forget them. You see, forgetfulness leads to disobedience and self-delusion. I want you to take your Bible now, and we're going to use Matthew 13 to the Lord Jesus speaking to us here about this important lesson of hearing the word only and not hearing it with obedience. And these words are very familiar. This is also the parable we continue to come back to, the parable of the sower. But I want to begin earlier in chapter Matthew 13:13. The disciples came to him and said in verse 10, why are you speaking in parables? Why don't you just put it out there plainly to all these people, all this mass of people. You talk to us one way, you say things very clearly to us, and then you just get out here and talk about, you tell these earthly stories. Jesus said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been granted. And then this is a word for learning, and this is a word for us now to remember in our hearing. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. See, that's what happens as you hear the word of God with obedience. Oh, you have it, and you have more, and it comes, and it comes. But whoever does not have, even to him it will be taken away. It's going to go away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because, here's what happens. You know, I'm mindful of this every time I have preached in all these 40 years plus I've been preaching. Someone wrote me a letter one time and said, I bet you get discouraged when people don't respond. No, I really don't. I truly mean this. And I'm not being silly or smart aleck. I really don't, because every time you preach the Word of God, as we're going to see, there are four kinds of ways people hear the Word, and it'll always be this way. My responsibility is not to convince the hearer. My responsibility is to speak the Word of God plainly and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. But look at this now. We're talking about the delusional hearer who does not obey the Word of God. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because while seeing, they do not see. We talked about trouble this morning. We talked about what the Bible says about the importance of hope. Some saw it, but they didn't see it. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In the case of the prophecy of Isaiah, it has been fulfilled. You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. This was the case with Israel. God sent prophet after prophet, man of God after man of God, word of God after word of God to them. You keep on hearing, but you don't understand. You keep on seeing, but you don't perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. There we go. Dullness, delusion. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your eyes because they hear. May I say this to all my friends here? Blessed are your eyes if you see the Word of God. Blessed are your ears if you hear the Word of God. Blessed are you. You're some of the blessed ones. Most don't hear the Word of God, don't see it, don't understand it, and have no desire to obey it. So then the Lord goes on and He speaks to us the parable of the sower. I just want to simply point out verse 19 is the ignorant hearer. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That happened this morning. I'm preaching, and the seed's going out, and the seed fell on some who came in this building who were ignorant hearers. They did not understand the word of God. It's gone. Why? We got a Super Bowl tonight. We got work tomorrow. We got important things to do. We got to get out of here and beat everybody down there to the front porch. Are all those people really coming to the house? See, this is it. No understanding of the Word of God. None of it caught. The second hearer only is the temporary hearer. Verse 20. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word. Oh, he receives it with joy. Yet there's no firm foundation in him. It's only temporary. Here we go. When affliction arises, immediately he falls away. The ignorant hearer, the temporary hearer, and then the anxious hearer, verse 22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Devil takes away the seed of the first. No roots in the second. Fades away under pressure and temptation and trouble. And the third, oh, the worries of the world. Some came this morning to hear the word of God taught in our Sunday school classes and preached here, and the worries of the world are so churning, it chokes out any ability to even understand or hear these words. So we must beware of the danger of hearing God's word without obeying. It's delusionary. So we go back to James. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 24, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So tonight I ask myself before I came here, as I ask you, are my eyes blessed? Are my ears blessed? Or am I one of those who has deluded himself? I've heard these words so many times, but they do not cause me to obey. I just know them. I can quote them. I put them on my wall at the house. I have them on my desk, but I don't obey them. They're wonderful sayings. They're good thoughts. But Jesus said, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them is a wise man. The last observation here is found in 25. Habitually read God's word to obey it. Now, this is very important. Let me try to explain the language here from the language of the New Testament. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed? Then obey the word of God. First, we see that reading God's word comes with care and focus. This is my repetitive appeal to all of you, my friends. Read your Bible slowly, carefully, with focus. And how do I come to this? Well, it's in verse 25. You notice the language here, but the one who looks intently. That Greek word is very important to us. It's the word that means to stoop and inspect. And some of you, I think about Tom over here with all these cars he's got. Or Todd back there, all the mechanics in here who can fix anything. Well, it won't run. I don't know what's the matter with it. And the mechanic says, well, let me take a look at it. They don't just open the hood or just kind of walk around. You know what they do? They get down in there. They stoop down in there. They do whatever they do with all their tools. They stoop down and they inspect it. Well, you've got this wire's loose. Oh, you got a spark plug wire off. Oh, you don't have any antifreeze in there. They inspect it. Inspections. Stooping and inspecting. The word here has the implication of inspecting it. That's what you do with the Word of God. Every pronoun, every adjective, every verb, every noun, the order, the structure, the way they're placed in the Word of God. This is the blessed book. This is the inerrant Word of God. These words are put together in order, placed in such a way to help us, but it requires not this looking in the mirror, going your way, forgetfully, here we go, I did it, check it off, I read my Bible today. No, no, no. It is, I got in my chapter today and I only got through one verse. Praise God. Because when you're stuck on that verse, you're inspecting it. This is the joy of reading God's word for obedience. It's what will give you, look, it's an adventure, my friend. I speak it to you as a fellow traveler. I was blessed to have people who taught me how to read the Bible when I was a young man. It is my desire. I talked to Todd about it, talked to the staff about it all the time. We must help our people learn to read their Bibles joyfully. It's supernatural. It takes you on a journey. You find that word and then you learn in your Bible how to read your margins and you read the marginal references to it and you find yourself churning and finding this word and down this path and you go here and my, how the time has gone and you've spent your time on one word in a verse. Oh, this is the glory of it. Not the drudgery. And as you do it, you just get more of it and more of it and more of it, and it is just sweetness to you. It satisfies something deep inside of you, and I can only describe it to you. You must do it for yourself. But when you do it, you'll want more of it, I promise you. So look at this. When is your time that you intently stoop down and inspect this book? You take it. I know you have things to do. I know your time is precious. I know. But when you have a moment, when you can take your time and you come to God's Word, oh, as you come to it, just pause, reflect, slow down, and look intently at it. Turn the words over in your mind. Think about them. Challenge your ideas about them. Look intently. Memorize and meditate God's Word. Look at this. It's also here. Not only is it inspecting God's Word, it's remembering God's Word. Look at this. I'll read it again. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides by it. I have to take it with me. I will just simply say to you, my practice is I find one phrase in all of my reading, hear me now, I take one phrase and I take that phrase with me all day long. Wherever I go, I just remember it. I keep that phrase before me. I keep it with me. I meditate on it. I abide in it. I just think about it. I think about it over and over and again. Romans 3:5. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Amy, that baby's not bothering one person in here except you. Oh, there's a smell? Well, then you better take her out of here. We don't need that. Okay, that's one exception. Out of here you go. You all did it too, and thank God you had somebody change your diaper. Aren't you glad? If they're still alive, you should thank them. Look, I don't want to leave this now. I know I'm going long, but that's okay. We need to hear this. You abide in it all day long. All day long. Hope does not disappoint. That's what I've been thinking about. Hope does not disappoint. God will never disappoint you if you trust Him. Hope will not disappoint. This is, I'm illustrating. You must find a phrase. You must linger and inspect. Look, if some of you would inspect the Word of God like you inspect those cookbooks or those working on that car, my, what a joy would come to your life. Inspect it. Inspect it. Remember it. This is the law of liberty. This sets you free. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, thirdly, he says, is blessed. So I read it to you again from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love this book, this chapter. Psalm 119:2. Hear the word of the Lord. How blessed are those that observe His testimonies. You need to put that down. This is what James is saying. You want a blessing? Everybody wants to be blessed. Then you must obey the Word of God. If it says for you not to treat people a certain way, obey it. Stop doing it. Just stop doing it. Be obedient. If you find a phrase or a word that you're puzzled by, take the journey. Go into your Bible. This is why we're teaching the people in our church the tools, so that they study the Word of God to show themselves approved. Rightly dividing the Word of God. How blessed are those that observe His testimony. Psalm 119:2. And may I read these also? Psalm 119, verses 167 and 168. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Psalm 119:167, 168. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. A believer with the Holy Spirit of God as teacher, encourager, and the Word of God in your hands. There's nothing better. Nothing. Nothing. So may you find great joy in reading the Word of God, but we always come to it saying, Lord, I'm about to read this. What do you want me to do? And then you listen. You pay attention. You inspect it. And then you take something away with you. Take it with you. Take it with you as you go on your journey. Write it on a little piece of paper and stick it on your dashboard. Put it in your phone so it comes up every hour to remind you, whatever you have to do. Take it with you every day. And you will find that the Word of God, and hearing it, obeying it, and thinking about it, brings great blessing to your life. Can anybody say amen to that? Am I the only one? It's a blessing. Don't miss it. Well, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. It's been good to be together today, special day.